I don't know what's more confusing, learning astrology or just being a human. Moonday Musings is here to help with that. A weekly no-bullshit guide for the upcoming cosmic forecast and how you can actually use this in your real life. Well, hello, neighbor, and welcome to another episode, this week's episode of Moonday Musings. I'm Danny. I'm that witch next door. And happy Taurus season, if no one has let you know yet. And I am just feeling this wonderful, grounded energy. I love Taurus season. This episode is coming to you or being released on Earth Day, one of my favorite days of the year. I am a person who I really crave grounding energy. I really, really crave it. So when we go into an earth season, I tend to feel like physical relief, almost like, I can relax, I can lay, I can rest. It's like if you're a weighted blanket person like me, it's like getting your favorite weighted blanket. I love it. That's what Taurus energy does for me. What a week. We have our full moon in Scorpio tomorrow. We have Mercury stationing direct this week. Next week is Beltane. We are wrapping some things up cosmically, spiritually, aren't we? This weekend, over the weekend, I taught the final lesson for level two in the I Can Read My Astrology program. Level two has been all about really diving deep into the layers of the zodiac signs. So I first taught a lesson on the modalities, the cardinal, fixed, and mutable signs. Then we used that context that we took and picked up in the modalities and brought that into our next lesson, which was all about the elements, the fire, earth, air, water signs, and started connecting that energy and combining it, the modalities with the elements. And it's been really cool getting to see these light bulb moments, these big aha moments in my students, especially during their homework after the lessons. And then yesterday, I taught the third and final installment of level two, which is all about the polarities. And polarities are what have been referred to as the masculine signs and the feminine signs. And there's nothing inherently wrong with using this terminology. I do find that our human preconceived connotations and learned connotations with the words feminine and masculine are too simple and honestly too rigid in a lot of ways. And they're not broad enough to truly encapsulate the energy of each of the polarities. So I personally refer to the polarities as left-brained energy and right-brained energy. The left-brain signs being the ones typically associated with masculine energies, right brain being associated with the term feminine. Some people will also call them yang and yin, respectively. But I also encourage my students, and we spend a lot of time during this particular lesson, really brainstorming and coming up with different adjectives that describe these energies. And I wanted to share that with you today because when we have a full moon, we have two celestial bodies facing off with one another. The moon and the sun are opposite one another from an earth-centric point of view, with us in the middle between them. And on the astrological chart, they are 180 degrees apart, again, facing off with each other. And there is sort of this polarizing energy there. So before we get into the energy of the full moon, I wanted to first offer a brief explanation of the difference in astrology between polarities and oppositions, because they sound very similar, They're connected to similar concepts, but they are in and of themselves very, very different. So like I said, the polarities refer to the categories of the signs as the right-brained and the left-brained signs. And if you look at the traditional wheel of the zodiac and you start with the first sign of Aries, Aries belongs to the left brain polarity, also known as Yang, also known as masculine. Then when we move to the second sign in the zodiac, this is Taurus. And Taurus is belongs to the other polarity, right brained yin or feminine energy. When we then move to the third sign in the zodiac, Gemini, we go back to the left brain polarity. When we get to Cancer, we go back to the right brain polarity. This goes back and forth and alternates like this all around the entire wheel of the zodiac, okay? So just to finish that off for you, if you would like, especially if you're one of my note takers who listens to the podcast, I love when I find out you take notes. It just warms my heart. So we left off. Gemini would be considered left brain. Cancer would be considered right brained. That means that Leo would be left brain. Then Virgo would be right brained. Libra would be left brained. Scorpio would be right brained. Sagittarius would be left brain. Capricorn would be right brained. Aquarius would be left. And Pisces would be right. It is very much cosmically on purpose that the polarities alternate like that around the wheel, that neighboring signs are of opposite polarities. So what is an opposition? An opposition are the two signs that are directly 180 degrees across from one another on the chart. They oppose one another and face off with each other. So if we start with Aries, the sign that opposes Aries is Libra. Then Taurus is opposite Scorpio. Gemini is opposite Sagittarius. Cancer is opposite Capricorn. That makes Leo opposite Aquarius. And finally, Virgo is opposite Pisces. Notice, if you haven't already, that the opposing signs are of the same polarity. This is why I don't like the terms feminine and masculine. That's why I think that they're too limiting. Because polarities themselves represent these two binaries, right? And then even in those categories, even if you just go into the right brain category, for example, you can split them into oppositions even further. Duality and polarity, binaries, these opposite energies that come together to balance one cohesive whole is a universal concept evident throughout, like, endless examples throughout our universe. Just in our one Earth sphere alone, there are so many examples of this. And I wanted to just plant this seed of polarities and oppositions for you, and let this set the stage as we now move into talking about our full moon in Scorpio with this idea of polarities and the concept of duality as we move into full moon energy, which in and of itself is an opposition aspect. So first and foremost, the exact full moon is tomorrow, Tuesday, April 23rd at 7:48 p.m. Eastern time. And this is happening at 4 degrees of Scorpio. When we talk about the peak exact moment of the full moon, and I tell you that it's at 4 degrees of Scorpio, because the moon is in opposition with the sun during full moon exact, this means that the sun is in the opposing sign that the moon is in. And so in this particular case, because the moon will be at 4 degrees of Scorpio, it means that the sun will be at 4 degrees of Taurus. So when when the sun and the moon are opposite one another, again, from that Earth-centric POV, because remember, the sun is still the center of our solar system. But from our Earth point of view, when the sun is on one side of our Earth and the moon is on the other side, and we get this big, full, bright illumination of the full face of the moon, we associate full moons with this peak energy. Like the moon is at its fullest peak potential and power for everyone to see. And this is why so many, if you do any kind of digging into like what kind of magic or what kind of spells or what kind of intentions are good for a full moon, honestly, they're quite universal. You'll see things like release, manifesting, banishing, protection, calling in, pushing out, starting anew, letting go of what you need to, stepping into renewal. It's because the moon is at this full peak energy and it's illuminated in its full glory. So let's narrow this particular full moon a little bit based on its astrology. When the sun is in Taurus, we see very grounded, very nature-connected energy here on Earth. We tend to feel very rooted during Taurus season, and we are much more open to practicality and taking things one step at a time. We're also going to lean a little bit into pleasure during Taurus season. What feels good? What feels comfy? What feels nice? What looks nice? This is really attributed to Taurus being ruled by the planet Venus, which is an Earth planet. And we really see that beautiful power of Venus come through in Taurus of, I can be practical, I can be responsible, and I can experience joy and pleasure and enjoyment. Now, moon in Scorpio, this can be very intense for our emotions because I find that when the moon is in some of the other signs, we are not as open or not as ready to feel or experience certain emotions. And when the moon goes into Scorpio, we subconsciously experience this big feeling of widening capacity. Like we can feel it all. And the way that you can see this come out in a lot of people or even in yourself is in intensity. Emotions just come like boiling up and over and out. This can be in the form of like intense heat and passion. It can be in like intense, like brooding and deep, heavy emotionality. We can see spikes of rage. We can also see spikes of like exhilaration, excitement, and joy as well. Again, when we think and talk about Scorpio being intense, Scorpio moon being intense for emotions, don't always assume that that means only what we consider negative emotions. It's this big increased sense of capacity for the emotional spectrum itself. And we can see emotionality happening in extremes. People kind of bouncing from one full side of the spectrum all the way to the other in a split second and back again. Feeling many emotions all at the same time, the complexity of emotions. And this really is attributed to this sense, this sensation of a widening capacity for emotional experience. And this is why in Scorpio, you'll hear many astrologers tell you, like, it's okay to be quiet during this time. It's okay to think and process before you speak or to simply observe, because so much intensity is happening in so many people, especially people that, I'm just going to call it what it is, don't do the inner work. Take a step back, take a nice big breath, remind yourself if you need to. I know that this is a person who doesn't do the inner work or hasn't done the inner work for a really, really long time. I have built myself this really valuable, sacred, spiritual tool bag that I have access to at any time. This person might not have built that yet, or they might not know that they can reach into it and utilize it right now. So I'm going to make the choice to take that deep breath, to utilize my toolkit, to let this be about them and release from that. That's why that Scorpio intuitive stinger knows when to strike and when to step back. Let that greater feeling of emotional capacity be to your advantage, because I know if you're a person listening to this podcast, you are a person who's doing that inner work, okay? So when the sun is in Taurus and the moon is in Scorpio, and we get this Scorpio moon and they're facing off with one another, there can be this kind of push-pull feeling. This is what oppositions do. There can kind of be this push-pull feeling. That's what polarities do, polarizing energy, learning how to really embrace and experience duality. The first signs of that is this push-pull feeling between, in this particular case with Sun and Taurus, Moon and Scorpio, this push-pull feeling between what is right in front of us and what we feel inside. We may feel torn between what we consider what really matters. Thinking about what's right in front of us, the mundane responsibilities, the practical tasks that need to be done, being present in the here and now. And on the other end of that spectrum, and what we're feeling inside might look like big, deep things that have been coming up that didn't come up before, because maybe we didn't sense or feel we had the capacity for it. And now we do. And even though those things aren't technically happening in the physical present right in front of us, we know that those feelings and sensations that are coming up also matter just as much. Both ends of this spectrum are very valid. This is the key to duality. This is the key to oppositions. It's not about which side matters more than the other. It really is about recognizing the validity on both sides, recognizing that we are these infinite soul beings that no matter how intense the emotions coming up may feel, we have the room to feel them, and reminding ourselves of that, no matter how fucking hard some of those feelings may be that are coming up. And on the other end of the spectrum, reminding ourselves that totally abandoning our day-to-day responsibilities isn't the answer, and getting bogged down by them and letting that completely take away from our inner experience also isn't necessarily the path either. Full moon in Scorpio is a beautiful time to release the unnecessary, the excess, and the overly complex. I think that this is why we see a lot of excess in the shadow sides of both Taurus and Scorpio. And I think that that excess is like right in our face, so that we can't ignore it, so that we can release it, because we excess means we no longer need it. It's not serving a purpose. We can let it go. Let yourself feel your feelings without absolutely having to know what it quote unquote means. Taurus and Scorpio both will kind of go into a little bit of overanalyzing. Let yourself focus on the basic and the simple, the here and the now. Move through one wave at a time. And because Scorpio full moon can bring these heightened passions, we can also feel really sensual, really sexual, really intimate, and downright kinky. Both Taurus and Scorpio, like I said, have a lot to do with pleasure. So I want you to think a little bit about the devil card in tarot. Do what feels good while being mindful of your own self-sabotage cycles and triggers. And before we get into some ideas for this week's energy, I want to talk a little bit with you about Mercury stationing direct this week. So this happens at 8:54 a.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, the 25th, Mercury stations direct at 15 degrees of Aries. Mercury went stationed retrograde on April 1st, to give you a little bit of context about when and how long this retrograde cycle was, okay? So Mercury stationing direct on Thursday means we will have the post-retrograde shadow period for about 2 weeks until Mercury is considered back on its usual track, okay? The post-retrograde shadow period refers to the time in which Mercury is basically retracing all of its steps that it went backwards. Remember, from an astronomical point of view, the planets don't physically move backwards. This is an optical illusion for us here on Earth, but in astrology, we still interpret this optical illusion as a retrograde period, okay? So during the actual retrograde cycle, it looks like the planet is moving backward. And when it stations direct, it has to retrace and go back forward all those steps that it took backward. And when it gets to that first original point where it was when it first stationed direct, this is when we say we emerge out of that post-retrograde shadow period. So basically what this means is that though retrograde is over, keep up that extra patience, keep up that extra understanding during communication and especially technological interactions right now. The post-retro shadow period is a time to apply any tools, any teachings and lessons that came about during the actual retrograde cycle, okay? So let's take all of this and what are some ideas for what you can do with this week's energy? First of all, between the retrograde, the full moon, all this, release. Releasing rituals, cord cutting, banishing, let it go, surrender. Maybe pull out the Hanged Man card for some surrender energy. Another great way to work with the energy of release is journal. What does that mean to you? What does releasing mean? What does it feel like? How would you describe it? Especially to like a small child who didn't know what that meant. What does letting go mean? Is it any different in definition? What about the term surrender? Do these feel different? Journal on that. Elaborate on that for yourself. Another idea is let yourself experience pleasure. First of all, is this something that you haven't been able to make much time for? Because hi, I'm right there in line with you. I get it. It's a huge product of our society and the structure of our society and the system and so many things stacked against us that put us in this place of, without even thinking about it, we put pleasure on the back burner, we take it off of the stove all together. What can you do, first of all, to get more of that time on your schedule? What can you skip doing tonight so that you can have an orgasm instead, quite honestly? Notice, speaking of orgasm, notice your energy before, during, and after an orgasm. What can you do after that? What can you do with that extra pep in your step? When you walk through this reflection for yourself, it will help positively reinforce the experience into your subconscious and help you continue to remember to make time for pleasure and release. Also, work with the root chakra. Work with earth energy. Work with grounded nature, dirt, leaf, plant, bark. Like, work with freaking earth energy this week. Outside in nature. And also, is there some extra love you can show your body? What are some extra things you can do to show some love to your body? Can you write a love note to your body? Can you take your time in the shower really cleansing yourself? Or is there a new lotion or oil you can put all over your body after a bathing or showering ritual to really seal in the wonderful energy that you let go and seal in any wonderful new renewal energy in and keep it there? Giving your skin some of that vitamin D in the sunlight, or letting your skin physically touch the earth, going outside and really, really playing with the five senses: sight, hearing, taste, smell, touch. What can you do with your five senses, which is your body connecting to nature, directly to earth? And then now that Mercury is stationing direct, reflect back on the past 3 weeks since it stationed retrograde on April 1st. If you need help, look back at pictures in your phone, events in your calendar, tasks that you crossed off the list. Look back at your text messages or maybe even emails. You know, those interactions can be really, really helpful in hindsight, looking at what were the words you used? What was the tone? What was the energy you brought to the interaction? What were these interactions like? When you ran into difficulties over the last 3 weeks, how did you respond? Because this particular Mercury retrograde was in Aries, right next to and merged with Chiron in Aries, during a big fat solar eclipse in Aries, there was a lot around our responses, our reactivity, but also a lot to do with self, what we uniquely bring to the table, okay? So do some big self-reflection this week as Mercury closes out its retrograde cycle. And finally, we're at the end of April, which blows my mind as always. May 1st will bring Beltane, a moon in Aquarius, Mars into Aries, and Pluto stationing retrograde, which we'll talk more about next week. But we're already hitting the midway point of the spring season, if you can believe it. Think back to late winter. And if you're like me, it barely feels like winter even ended. I'm like, what? How are we technically almost to the halfway point of spring? And almost to the, mark my words, before we know it, we'll be talking about the freaking summer solstice, my friends, and summer beginning. So think back to late winter and what you had your sights set on for this coming spring season. And now that we're here, what goals and intentions were you able to follow through on? What goals or intentions can you let go of and not have to apologize or beat yourself up for that? What can you just surrender and let go of that maybe you had your sights set on for spring and you can go, what? Maybe that's a summer thing. Maybe that's a fall thing. Maybe that's something I just don't need on my plate right now. And maybe what are some goals and intentions that slid off the table that maybe you could put back on the table now? These are some really, really helpful reflections for the end of this particular calendar and cosmic and spiritually seasonal month moving into our next season and chapter. So thank you, my wonderful neighbor, for being here with me today. I hope today's episode offered you some helpful insight, some helpful direction into your week ahead. I'm always so grateful for you spending part of your moon day with me. I am sending you all of my love and magic into this beautiful full moon this week. Make sure that you stay safe, have fun, and stay magical out there. What is that witch school? Well, it's kind of my twist on Patreon. See, for as little as $5 a month, you can get instant access to our entire back catalog of incredible bonus content, like bonus episodes, witchy lessons, a ton of astrology resources, guest teachings, and so much more. But I didn't want to just keep the magic going in between episodes with bonus content. I wanted to keep the learning going. I wanted to keep the community going. So I also offered tiers that opened up opportunity for continued intentional, magical academic learning, as well as opportunity for creating community with like-minded witchy individuals. For just $30 a month, you can get full, complete access to everything inside that witch school, including our exclusive members-only social media platform on Mighty Networks, where right now, witches and energy practitioners and students just like you are all learning, working together, sharing together, and supporting each other week in and week out. We talk about the show, we share dreams that we've had, we share each other's tarot readings, and ultimately, we support each other as magical beings in a very anti-magical world. You can join us today at thatwitchnextdoor.com/enroll to learn more and start your enrollment today.